Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Rappaport to the rescue with award-winning animal advocate, best-selling author, journalist, and pet products creator, Jill Rappaport.
Hi, I'm Jill Rappaport, and welcome to this edition of Rappaport to the Rescue. Now, I couldn't be more excited about my guest today, since she is literally like a daughter to me. Alexa Rae Joel will be taking center stage. She is the beautiful, talented singer, songwriter, and pianist whom I've known since she was in diapers, literally. Her mother, for over 40 years, has been like a sister to me. Plus, we featured her on this podcast for her best-selling book, Uptown Girl. Of course, I'm talking about the legendary Christie Brinkley. And Alexa's dad is, as we all know, music icon, the piano man, Billy Joel. With parents like that, it's no surprise Alexa Rae inherited all that talent and charisma. Not to mention, she is one of the sweetest individuals you will ever meet. To know her is to truly love her. And you'll understand why when we talk all about her new Tales from a Winding Tower EP, what it was like growing up with two forces of nature parents, and most important, you'll hear about the incredible cat in Alexa Rae's life, that she has an irreplaceable bond with, the one and only Stella. So stay tuned for Alexa Rae Joel when we come back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Jill Rappaport. Welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. And I'm literally sitting here in a blizzard on Long Island. Otherwise, I would be up the road with the daughter I wish I had, Alexa Rae Joel, who's also sitting in the same blizzard. But I am so thrilled to have you on and talk about this incredible EP that you have, which is hot and edgy, just like you. So great to see you, Alexa.
Thanks, Jilly. Love you so much. And, you know, I wish you were here, but it might be a little dangerous trying to drive.
I love you, but I wasn't going to take my life in my hands for you.
Oh, my gosh. It's so beautiful, though, just to see the snow come down. We're really in a winter wonderland here.
Anyway, I am so thrilled about this new EP for you because it's such an amazing concept. And the songs, you have released two out of the five that will be part of this incredible EP.
Yes.
Tell me about this, because it's such an exciting project for you to embark on.
Yeah. You know, a few years back was just feeling the inspiration and just went ahead and was, you know, rolling out one song after the next. Everything was produced here at Tower Hill at my family house. So every part of the creative process for this EP was really just kind of came about very organically. And I wrote, you know, all of these songs at home, which is why I call the EP Tales from a Winding Tower. And it's going to be five original songs in total, but we're in such a ADD time right now where I feel like people aren't as, you know, back in the day, I love the 60s, right? When Sgt. Pepper came out and everyone sat and listened to a full album. But now it's different and the pace is so much quicker. And so I wanted to do these waterfall releases so people can really just absorb one song at a time. And each song is completely different from the next. So it's kind of a great opportunity for, you know, every song to shine in its own light. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun releasing it. I've been, you know, lucky enough to be able to produce a music video for each song, which people can check out on my Instagram.
Right.
Everything's linked there if they want to, you know, check it out. And it's been amazing.
Well, let's talk about these songs, because you've now released two of them, and the videos are steaming hot, Alexa. I mean, they are just beautiful and so intense. Like I said, edgy and very hot. Let's talk about the styles of music and the songs that you're doing at this juncture of your life.
Yeah, I mean, stylistically, every song is very different, right? Like, I love how you said it was edgy and hot. I would say Riverside Way, the first single, is very edgy and hot and kind of, you know, spicy and a little bit more on the edge than something I would usually do. That was an intentional departure, you know, it's very kind of more hard charging rock. And I never like to be put in a box I think a lot of female artists feel this way. I don't want to be labeled as just someone who just does one particular style. So right after Riverside Way, I came out with Heavy Eyes, which is very 60s niche torch song, very retro, kind of uplifting and sweet. So there's kind of a different tone and a different vibe and a different genre for every listener, I think, with this EP. And I like keeping people guessing, you know, I don't want to stay in one particular style right now. And I think what people will be hearing will reflect a very kind of eclectic and experimental sound. And I just hope there's something for everybody on the record.
A lot of artists have one style, but you really love to dabble in all facets.
I love it. And, you know, for those who, it was so amazing to see how many people came out to the Cafe Carlisle shows, yourself included, Julie. But, you know, there was a little more kind of cabaret, but you could hear a lot of that kind of vintage, retro, Tin Pan Alley, Etta James, Irma Thomas, like torch sound there.
Yeah.
So I would say the one common thread with all of these songs is that it's very old school and it's very nostalgic. You know me, I'm a nostalgic old school girl from top to bottom, musically and otherwise. So I think that hopefully this music, I think, should speak to the real chronic nostalgics and the escapists who kind of look to music for escapism and atmosphere and to be kind of transported to a different time or a different feeling, which I think is really needed right now, too.
Well, you know, they say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and you were born in a bushel, literally, with your parents, Christy Brinkley and Billy Joel, and inherited the best qualities from both. Talk about your dad and his influence on you musically, because on one hand, incredible, tough shoes to fill, but yet you have carved your niche on your own with your own style. And I know he's so proud of you.
Well, thanks, Jilly. Dad is always there, right? Whether when I'm creating, it's almost subconscious because I won't even realize while I'm writing it. And then I'm like, oh, that sounds like a chord my dad would use. Like with how much I love, say, suspended chords, because they sound a little more rich and bittersweet. My father is always playing suspended chords, or the way he's able to write a song that sounds like it's so classic and timeless, like straight out of the American songbook, almost like akin to a Gershwin or even like a Randy Newman, or, you know, just that classic sound that's almost, it's cinematic, it's timeless. And so that's always in the back of my mind when I'm writing, and just the way he's able to master melody. I mean, I think a lot of artists can tell just from listening to his music. But his foundation is always the melody first, and then he'll sort of craft the lyrical narrative. And it's pretty much been that way for me. Not that I don't necessarily have a narrative story in mind, but it's usually melody first and then the lyrics. So I did inherit, I think, his kind of old school way of crafting songs and songwriting structurally. And I also think, what was my other thought? Oh,
you're still on the piano. Come on. You're an incredible piano player.
I think Dad's a better piano player than me, but we both were trained classically. So we have like that old school training. I also think I inherited, or I'd like to think, but some of his ear, because he is really an ear trained musician in the sense that he's never been able to read music. He cannot look at notes on a page and read it. He's just not a technical learner. And I'm exactly the same way. Like it looks like chicken scratch. I can't make out notes on a page, but I learn by ear and I sound out the chords. And there's ear, there's like ear memory, and then there's finger memory. And so I think Dad and I are similar in how we're kind of creatively wired. And it just magnifies his talent all the more that he cannot read music. He's never been able to read music. Even when he studied classical piano, he was sounding it out, the classical notes he was never able to read. And so that really got him. That's when he started messing around and experimenting and then ultimately songwriting, because he couldn't read. So sometimes I think what I've learned from my dad is a testament to sometimes what you think is a flaw or a shortcoming, like not being able to read music, can actually be turned around to be your biggest strength, because he developed such a strong sense of musical memory and such a strong ear from crafting the music just by listening and trying to hear, okay, what do I want this to sound like? And then executing it musically.
Look, I've watched you perform together since you were a little girl, banging away on a little toy piano next to him on his grand piano, to then the pinch me moments to performing with your dad at Madison Square Garden. It's incredible, you know, to watch the two of you together. Does he give you any advice or thoughts before you're getting ready to go on stage with him?
You know, Dad is like very low key, and I feel like he's very, I don't want to say he's hands off, but he's very pressure free. Like, he knows, first of all, I get anxious as a performer. I get the chills, I get the nerves. So he never wants to add to that. He's very like, trust your gut, do what feels right to you. He wants me to shine in my own light and trust my own instinct. And I really appreciate that, because he's such a master at what he does that he could definitely be riding me on certain things, but he's just supportive. Like, he's very like laid back and supportive. And you'll notice sometimes when I've sang at the garden with him, he'll, you know, after I sing or something, he's like, sing it, girl, or hey, take this extra line. Like, he loves like seeing me have the spotlight, and he's very humble. He's just very like a humble, like dad that wants to see his daughter shine. And I really appreciate that.
And what is that like for you to be on stage with him at Madison Square Garden?
It was a thrill. Every moment was a memory just ingrained into my mind for forever. Just a classic, as he's saying, those were the times to remember, you know?
Yeah.
And it was challenging in that at certain moments I was holding back tears. I know my dad was as well, because it's really special to be at this iconic residency. It's just New York. It's like New York family being at the garden with everyone. It's like one big family. And I'm just honored to have the opportunity. And even when I would get like have moments where I would get a little anxious or a little, I just look back at Dad, because he's very calm. Like, that stage for him became his living room. It became his living room. And so he's so calm. He's never like an overhyper. Like, he's very like, oh, it's no big deal. I'm just
very zen.
He's very like, I'm just playing the piano. Like, he's just doing what he does.
Unbelievable.
So when I would have a moment of going, whoa, I'd look back at him. And the good thing about singing at the garden is, even if you get, it's very overwhelming. It's exciting. It's an adrenaline rush. But you look out at that audience and it is a huge mass of people. And so sometimes I would have moments where I would, even though I've got these songs, Dad's songs are memorized, I know every line, but even still, that rush of the crowd, you can have a blank moment in your mind. Luckily, there's a teleprompter at the front of the stage, Alexa, Dad, that's literally labeled Alexa, Dad. So it really saved my ass, actually. Many times to be able to look down and cheat with that teleprompter, because you do get swept away with the monumental
euphoria,
just euphoria and hugeness of the experience, for sure.
Well, you know, it's been such a trying year physically for your father. And thank goodness, and all his fans are so relieved. We just saw footage of him performing again. That must have given you such a great feeling to know that he is well enough to be back on stage. What did that mean to you, Alexa, to see him singing on stage again?
I was thrilled, but, you know, people were like saying, were you surprised? I wasn't surprised because he had been talking about, he's very resilient. This is how he is. And he always bounces back. He's made certain vague statements, you could say publicly, that he's retiring or not playing for a while. And then a few months later, he pops back up and plays. As it is who he is. It is just in terms of just who he is as a person. He's a performer. He's a singer. He's a piano player. Like, he's never going to stop doing it, whether it's in his own house or in front of a crowd. So he had been talking to me since this past summer that he wants to get back out there and play shows. And I said, okay, Dad, just please, just sit at the piano. Please don't stand up and be throwing the microphone around. So I did have a whole talk with him about that, and we were on the same page. And so that relieved me quite a bit.
Now let's talk about your amazing mom, Christy Brinkley. And I remember that she was the one to encourage you to take up piano. She was really your impetus to get into all of this, wasn't she?
Oh, totally. Totally. I would say mom is like a very hands-on parent. She is such a mama bear, and she just devotes her life to her kids. And she was always pushing. Even Dad wasn't really the one pushing me when I was younger to take classical piano lessons when I was, oh my gosh, I think I started when I was 12 or 13. And I give her a lot of credit. Like, I'm glad she pushed me because I wouldn't have that skill set if not for her. And classical music is a real foundation for a musician and for an artist. And she pushed me when I would, God, I was stubborn. I was, you know, I
remember.
And I don't want to do something unless I, but you know, with mom, she is just like, she wants to steer her kids in the direction where they can shine the most. And she knew that I was passionate about singing and songwriting. And so she was always just right there supporting. She's at the front row.
The ultimate cheerleader, right?
Ultimate cheerleader. She's always at the front row of all of my shows. And she's my biggest supporter. She really is. She's my biggest supporter and my best friend. And she's just got a heart of gold. And she just wants to see her kids shine.
She knew you possessed this talent. And she was the one that had to push you along to bring it out. And she wasn't going to let up, because she knew what you had and she wanted the world to see it.
Absolutely. And just, I don't know, mom is the best. She's a ray of sunshine, and she just wants all good things for the world, for humanity. She's just a golden ray of light.
Well, as I said in my intro, I feel that you have been able to take your career in the direction it was meant to go in, but you also have the sweetness and the kindness about you. You really are one of those people who is unaffected by who you are, what you were born into, and what you have.
Well, thanks, Jilly. Well, you know, I mean, we're all just human beings trying to do our best. Nobody's better than anyone else. I don't know. I was lucky to be able to grow up on Long Island when I was younger. I think that really helped to kind of ground me. And what can I say? I had good parenting.
You really did. But a lot of kids that come from famous parents can go in many different directions.
You know, I will say one thing about both of my parents, and I think you know this because you've known me since I was, wait, Jill, how long have you known me now?
Since you were two. Yes.
Two, right?
Yes.
Like, my parents are very old school in that they always raised me. It was always manners, say please, say thank you, be appreciative of if any, like, I would literally get a little, not a spanking or anything, but just a little, like, flick on the hand if I didn't say thank you at a restaurant, or if I said, I'll have this. No, it was, may I have? And I think that kind of old school, we need to get back to that place, I think, in society, because entitlement is, it's such an unattractive trait, I think. You know,
it's obnoxious.
It's obnoxious. I even see it sometimes at the nail salon where people will say, like, oh, give me this or give me that. And I think, oh, how are they raised? You know, like, I would never be able to, like, feel comfortable speaking to someone like that, you know? And that's not, I guess I'm lucky because I wasn't raised that way. And I was raised to say, may I and please. And it becomes ingrained into you. It's not just, oh, let me say this because it's, you know, mannerly, but there's a way of treating people. And sometimes I think with the internet and social media and all that, we lose that. We're losing that as a society. And I think it's really important to instill those manners, which ultimately lead to morals and values. It's important. I hope that we can hang on to that as a society in general, because I know my parents instilled that in me.
And they also instilled in what you really beautifully possess is empathy and compassion for others.
Oh, thanks, Tilly.
Well, it's very important, and it's just who you are. And I want to discuss the other two great loves in your life besides your mom and your dad, your fiance, Ryan Gleason, who I know he made quite a hot appearance in the video.
What did you think of that, Tilly? Oh, my God. Yeah, he actually like loves acting now. He's really into it. But we had a lot of fun with that first video in particular for Riverside Way, which is on my YouTube, by the way. But no, he was really into it. And it was kind of like a fun little PG, if you will, role-playing thing to do on camera. But a lot of the ideas he came up with, like he was like, let's use the red truck on the property for that scene. It's so fun. And we just kind of, it was like really playful and great. And he loved the acting. And then I ended up sneaking him into the Heavy Eyes video since he was so with a little cameo.
He's your co-star in both videos.
He's my co-star. Hey, you know, I'm not exactly a professional actress, so I don't know how comfortable I'd be with just some stranger doing a cameo in the video.
Especially the passionate moments.
Oh my God, especially for Riverside Way, right? The making out in the truck and all of that. And sure, a part of that was pushing it to the edge a little bit. And a part of me was thinking in terms of marketing, okay, I'd like to get some good views. Let's get the views up. Let's get the clicks up so people can watch. Because at the end of the day, I want people to be able to hear the music and also see that there's different sides to me, right? And I've always been seen, I think, predominantly, and I am a good girl, the good girl, the daughter of, but I'm also a woman and I'm also an adult, you know, with her own kind of fantasies and desires and wants to have fun and wants to be playful. And so I think some of that was reflected in that video. And Ryan was, he's a trooper because he really, if anything, he was more comfortable in front of the screen than anybody else. He was really into it.
And I think that all of your followers love seeing your fiance with you in those intimate moments. People really dug it.
It was really cute. I can't tell you how many women were like, can we get Ryan in more videos? Ooh, let's set up. Okay, guys.
Okay. Well, now I have to talk about, and excuse me, Ryan, don't get mad at me, but your ultimate love, your one and only rescue cat, Stella, who Ryan is very happy to take a back seat to. This cat has been in your life for so many years, and she really is your bonded soulmate, isn't she, Alexa?
100%. She is my soulmate. Ryan knows it. He knows she's always going to be number one. I mean, Stella, my cat, she's been with me for 18 years now. So,
and you adopted Stella from the ASPCA.
The ASPCA. And I have to say, and I'm not just saying this, it was the best day of my life. Like if you, anyone here out there listening, if you're considering adopting a cat or any shelter animal for that matter, cat or dog, please, please go. Go today. Don't hesitate. That day was like, I really want a cat. Like I need a cat. I've always had cats my whole life. And I went to the ASPCA and it wasn't like I found her. I feel like we found each other, like she found me. The minute I opened the cage, she had a little name tag on her, Cassie, which I didn't like the name Cassie. I said, I got to change this name. The most beautiful calico cat you've ever seen. Very dainty, very girly.
Like you.
Well, thank you. Well, they say cats end up mimicking their humans. But she opened her arms and she just hugged me, like almost like a human, like a baby would hug a parent. Like she just hugged me and she had the loudest purr. And she was going like this, which I know you can't see the visual with this podcast, but she was rubbing her face against my cheek. And I just started crying. I just started crying. Like, I just, and I was alone. So they probably thought I was crazy. They're probably like, who's this whack job cat lady girl, you know? And I start overwhelming the ASPCA girls, like, are you okay? Do you need a tissue? I said, what I need is to adopt this cat immediately. So give me the papers. I'll take her home today. And took a cab home. And then ever since then, we've been inseparable. And, you know, I've had some good days and some good memories in my life, but that one takes the cake. Adopting her was the life-changing best day of my whole life.
And ever since, if you do have a so-so day or a bad day, she really brings you up, doesn't she?
Oh my gosh. There's something about cats in particular. It's like they share this, I would say it's a very feminine kind of intuition. They're very intuitive. And the minute if I'm not feeling well or I'm crying or I'm stressed, I'm a hypersensitive. So I have yes, you know, Jill, I have all sorts of moods. And as many of us creatives do, we tend to be hyper emotional. And Stella, I highly recommend cats in general for particularly women, but also hypersensitive types, because the purring has been shown to literally slow your heart rate. It slows your nervous system down. And they say it can add up to 8 to 10 years to your life just to hear that purr. And apparently when a cat is laying with you, and again, I'm not even saying apparently, I just read an article about this and I find it astounding. They will sync their heartbeat to your heartbeat, to their parents' heartbeat. And I've experienced this firsthand with Stella. They're healers. They're literally there to heal. And, you know, not to mention that, what's it called? Some people call it making biscuits, where they do this, where they're kind of massaging you.
Oh, yeah, with their paws.
Between that and the purring and just the warmth of their bodies, and they're literally healers. And I cannot imagine my life without Stella, not for a second, you know?
That is a beautiful note to end on. And for our listeners out there, Alexa, who want to hear more of your beautiful voice, tell them where they can listen, where they can find these songs, and all about the EP.
Amazing. So I would recommend everyone, if you're interested in hearing my music, my writing.
We all are.
I'm just trying to, I don't like to, you know, force myself on anyone. But but I am very active on my Instagram, at Alexa Rae Joel. It's the official one with the blue check. And you can hear my music. Everything is at the top of the page at the link in bio. It links you directly to all of my original music, which is all original, by the way. I'm a singer-songwriter. And the videos are all up there. It links you right to everything. I've been sharing more content videos on my YouTube channel. It's all linked at the top of the page there. And also on my Instagram. And I think I have a few other socials, but I'm mainly just on my Instagram these days. There's a lot of pictures of Stella and a lot of information. I do a lot of work with, just like you, Jilly, which the work you do is amazing, promoting animal shelters and animal rescue. And there's a lot of information about organizations that I support there on my page for Adopt, Don't Shop, and the importance of adopting shelter animals. It's on there as well. So hopefully people will check it out.
Such great messaging. And not to put you on the spot, but I would be remiss if we didn't want to end the show. Would you like to hit a few notes to sing us out on? Feel free. No pressure.
Okay. Those heavy eyes, oh yeah, those heavy eyes. Was that good?
Wow, that was amazing. Oh, Alexa, I love you so much, sweetheart. And the minute we can get out of our driveways, I will be over to give you a big hug. Thank you so much for being part of this show. And you're going to be excited because when we come back, we have our cat correspondent on location at the Cincinnati Zoo giving us incredible news for cat lovers everywhere. Stay tuned.
Real people, Real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5-mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Spanning the planet. Spanning the planet. You've landed at the Pet Entertainment Center of the Universe. Alert the paparazzi. This is Pet Life Radio, the ultimate animal adventure.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Cat Chat with Deborah Cribbs, founder of the Give Them 10 movement.
Hi, I'm Jill Rappaport, and welcome back to Rappaport to the Rescue. Well, this is really an exciting segment we have coming up, because we are going to be taking you behind the scenes to one of the most respected centers for animal conservation in the world. It's the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden. And you know her, you love her. Our cat correspondent, Deborah Cribbs, is on location with Dr. Lindsay Van Sant, director of the Imperiled Cat Signature Project. Now, this is a first for us, being at a zoo on a show about pets, but the research being done on wild animals often shapes what we know about care, health, and welfare for our animals who share our wonderful homes. And this conversation is a perfect example of that connection. Deborah, take it away.
Thank you, Jill. We are super excited to be here at, believe it or not, wait for it, the Cincinnati Zoo.
Woohoo!
And you're thinking, why, Deborah? As a cat correspondent, did you take me to the Cincinnati Zoo? The reason is that we have a special guest, and we're going to talk about some of the most exciting things I've ever worked on in cat world. The Cincinnati Zoo, Center for Research on Endangered Wildlife, otherwise known as the Crew Center. And I have with me here Dr. Lindsay Van Sant, with whom I've worked for a long time. Lindsay, please tell our friends here your title.
Sure. So I am the director of the Imperial Cat Signature Project and here at Crew at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Isn't that cool? Her title is director of Imperiled Cats. What more do we need to say? So here's what I want to talk about today, Jill. And this, again, is so excited. So you know me as the person who's down here giving money to all kinds of cat things. That's been great. And we have wildly raised the live release rate for cats in our area and somewhat across the country. What else have we done? There is a holy grail, Jill, in our world. That holy grail is non-invasive spay neuter. Oh my gosh, pie in the sky. Why is Dr. Lindsay here? Lindsay, tell us about non-invasive spay neuter and what you've done.
Sure. So the idea of our research is, instead of traditional surgery with spay and neuter, to find a way to safely and permanently prevent reproduction for the rest of an animal's life.
Have we succeeded?
Yes. So we started studies here in 2019, and what we found is with this treatment, when we treat females, they effectively cannot reproduce. We put them through breeding trials, we continue to monitor them, and for 6 years, they have maintained effective contraception.
So in science speak, it sounds a little complicated. In real speak, that means we are maybe close to 50% to getting to the holy grail. Now, that was girl cats, not boy cats. And I will say, Jill, you'll like this. Spay neuter, boys and girls, cats and dogs. That is the holy grail.
Can I just jump in with one important question? Because I have a female dog that I'm about to spay and a rescue, of course, and I'm a nervous wreck. What makes it non-invasive? I've got to hear about this. And can it be available for dogs?
Great question. So what makes it non-invasive is there, in essence, is no surgery. It's a single injection into the muscle cell of the animal that then produces a hormone that stops them from reproducing. We are very much interested. I am the director of the cat team here. We do love dogs too. So the exciting thing about this approach is it is something that could be applied to dogs. We're just not as far along in that research yet.
Oh, I need it now.
So you're nervous, Jill, as anybody would be listening, because you have to take your pet to a surgery center, probably pay a lot of money, and have an actual surgery for your pet. Well, when this actually hits the market, and I say when, not if, it will be a shot. Just a shot.
Unbelievable. I know that they had a shot out a few years ago, a sterilization shot many years ago. It wasn't 100% effective, but I was looking into that then, and it seems to have just gone away. We don't hear about it anymore for dogs. So this is such great news.
We're very excited, and thank you for being interested. We are super glad to bring this to you and your audience. You heard it here first.
I cannot thank you both enough for bringing us this exciting information. I'm frustrated, I must admit, because I want it for my dog. But just the fact that we are this close for the cats, this is a miracle breakthrough.
Miracle.
Yeah.
But I think the most important thing is that it is in the process of being approved by the FDA.
Well, this is the best news to kick off 2026 with. And even better news is that both of you will be back in February and in March at this incredible zoo.
See you then.
See you soon.
Thank you so much. And so wonderful to meet you, Dr. Van Zandt. And great job as always, Deborah. And thank you all for tuning into this edition of Rappaport to the Rescue.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.